an appropriate towing arrangement. Again, the number is 855-KPFT-CAR to make your donation. Thanks. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to Technology Bites.
Yes, Technology Bites. This is the show called Technology Bites. Welcome to this show.
You switched mics.
No, I did not.
He moves away from the mic.
Okay.
I did not move away from any. I moved the mic close to me.
So he can breathe.
So you can hear me say Technology Bites.
Except you couldn't because I had your mic down.
Because you're an idiot. Thank you. Wow.
I was wondering if we had Robot Jay or Grumpy Jay, but I think I know which now.
That wasn't clever. It wasn't witty. It wasn't funny. It was just mean.
I hurt his feelings. I'm the Taybot.
Groovehouse pointed out they brought Tay back. I don't know why.
They didn't bring Tay back.
She's talking about smoking.
No, they did.
I think I was a fake.
I don't know.
I don't know. It was in numerous reports.
Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Gruvels.
Yay. Lee is somewhere charging up his electric car.
He stopped at somebody's house on the side of the road.
Mind if I plug in? Hey, you, in the Tesla, what are you doing?
Surely he didn't get a full charge before he left wherever he was leaving. I mean, they've got more range than Austin.
I'm thinking he got a charge.
Maybe it uses more electricity to drive
itself. Recharge, and this is the first time he's recharging.
Maybe he got all the way there and half the way back.
That's fine, but why wouldn't you charge up while you're there?
I mean,
because he really wanted to stop in Columbus.
He was in Austin, right? There's like a charging station on every corner.
Is there?
I don't know.
Really?
It's Austin. It's
on that one corner.
Are you just making it up as you go?
They're so hip. They have everything, right?
Flickit says you can charge in like 30 seconds now.
But that's only if you've got the Tesla charging
seconds.
Station. It's a very short amount of time. At the like Tesla charging station because it's, I guess,
that's
probably
still
high
like
amperage.
20 minutes.
What?
20 minutes?
20 minutes?
I think if you go to Musk's house.
I thought it was supposed to be like a few minutes.
Or 10 minutes, maybe. Maybe it's as little as 10, but it's still.
I thought it was supposed to take you less time than it took to fill up your gas tank.
I don't think they've gotten there yet.
These electric cars are garbage. Like, people should just not buy them. That stupid.
That's not funny or
Tesla
clever or witty. That's just hurtful.
It's just mean to the electric
cars. It's mean
to
Tesla.
No, Tesla was an inventor. It has nothing to do with the car.
Oh, poor Elon.
No, I was talking about the car.
Elon
you're being
sad.
Mean to. That car
the
can car. Drive
the brand has
and
supplanted.
It's got feelings.
As soon as it's got a Tay AI, I'll worry about that.
Tay AI-esla.
Because at that point... If
it's a Tesla.
At that point, it may try to come run me over. Because that
very
quietly. Tay AI was very...
And you won't hear it coming. It'd be
not,
just like, boom!
It wasn't very rational, you know. It kind of freaked out about stuff.
Quickly.
Yeah.
It became what everybody becomes on Twitter. Hateful.
Hateful.
Spewing out whatever comes to mind.
Yeah, evidently, when they brought it back, of course, now, this guy does have a Twitter account. His is like, your drug dealer. That's his Twitter handle. But he definitely tweeted to the Tay AI and a couple of other people and just put weed. And then immediately... The Tay AI responded and was like, "Kush."
All right, for those listening at home who don't know what we're talking about, there was an artificial intelligence created by, or you know, quote unquote, artificial intelligence created by Microsoft that was put onto Twitter, and
which we talked about on the show.
We did, but if you didn't listen last week, we want to make sure we catch
you. If you aren't listening, shame on you.
That's not clever or funny. Or...
That is. It's clever and funny.
But anyway, so this. This artificial intelligence was, they were going to let Twitter and other texting apps, people using these apps, interact with it.
It's still
to train
on Instagram.
It. Huh?
It's still on Instagram
and Snapchat.
Snapchat.
Careful on the Snapchat account. I'm telling you.
You may see some internals.
Everybody cut loose on this thing and taught it to be
quickly, like, be
hateful,
pro Hitler,
pro drugs, pro
racist.
Racist, yeah.
It was supposed to be, an AI of a teenage girl.
Yeah. With zero chill.
With zero chill. It really had more of the sense of a
it definitely
40
has zero
or 50-year-old guy being impersonating a 50-year-old girl.
A really, really upset Tea Party member.
All right.
Oh, this email just in from Elon Musk. It's addressed to Flickit. It says, "No questions for you."
You will never be allowed to buy my car.
I
canceled your order for an electric car.
Can you reply back and see if you can pick up Lee in Columbus?
I read several articles today about the Model 3. They said that Elon wanted to name the Model E, but he couldn't get the licensing from Ford, who I guess has Model E trademarked. And so he wanted it called the Model E because he already had the Model S and the Model X. And so he wanted the Model E. But he chose Model 3, which in Leet speak is an E, so he still got what he wanted.
Can they just have a manufacturing defect and flip it? It's a mirrored 3 is what it is.
Well, he's using the E from Tesla, the mm-hmm. Tesla logo, which is three vertical bars. Horizontal bars as a 3 instead of three vertical bars like a normal Roman 3. So you're not supposed to call it the Model III. It's just the Model 3.
Okay.
So, how does Ford have that? Or have they ever produced a Model E? I thought you had
They may have had that since. That may be back from when they had the Model A and the Model T and
or there was
all
a,
that stuff.
Or they were one of those like early prospectors, you know, like domain
squatters.
Squatters. Yeah, they were like car name squatters. And they
we'll never make more than five different types of cars.
So we're just going to get all of them. We're going to register the entire alphabet.
The Tesla Kit Kat.
People are posting out. The New York Post is calling this out that Ford more or less blocked the SEX trifecta.
So they were they were a block.
Yeah, yeah. So no longer.
All right. Well, you can visit us online at geekradio.com, and you can also hang out with us on IRC, irc.cuckoo.com, in the channel Tech Bytes.
Tech Bytes.
That's funny and clever.
Why ain't clever?
What are you doing?
I think Jay spent too much time around a parrot, because whenever somebody does that, like, he really, really finds it funny.
I find all
you just sit at home laughing all the time. Every time your parrot does something.
My parrot makes me laugh every day.
That's what I'm saying. Awesome. It's like so Groot House is sort of like a surrogate parrot at this point.
Thanks. Awesome.
Hey. Jay, come change my newspaper.
Here, play with this.
You need to find a way to hook your parrot up with Twitter so he can learn like Tay.
In the next day when you come home.
I do not want Twitter teaching my bird to talk.
So Ford does have, they make an E. It's the E series, also known as the Ford Econoline or the Ford Club Wagon. So it's the big vans.
For people who like to eat, the 40.
The 40. The 40s. Put a lot of food in
there. So what you're saying is
that was one of the
people
who like to drink.
They're loosely hanging onto it.
So you're saying Ford sells
E. I was trying to make a foodie joke. I failed. All right, yes. And also you can... just sit back and enjoy the show if you're inclined to do that. We're going to be here until 10 o'clock. Lee is probably, he tweeted something about an hour ago indicating that he was not
going
to make
contain
it. Lee, if you're listening, turn off the radio so your car will charge faster.
I think it's the self-driving part of it that uses the extra battery charge, maybe.
The last thing I saw was he said that when this baby reaches 88 miles an hour.
You're going to see some serious... Yeah. All right. So, at any rate, Geek Gathering this Friday. Want to go ahead and keep hyping that.
April 1st.
April 1st. No, seriously.
For real.
What?
Yeah,
for reals.
No, we're kidding. No, really, we're going to have it. No, we're not. Yeah, we are.
Show up and find out.
Free computers for all the kids.
We are all definitely... going to try to show up.
Supposedly we're going to get, you know, well, I guess that's a local kind of thing, so if you trek to Houston, you'll be greeted by a little bit of sunshine and some niceness, so should be good. We will
and
be there.
Mr. Robot season 2.
That's what I heard. They're shooting in New York right now. I finally had to go. Actually, no, I didn't know that. Jay posted the sign.
Yeah.
And the sign actually had the phone number of the location manager unmasked. And for like half an hour, I just kind of like kept looking at my phone. Being like, bet that guy has plot points.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
No, probably not.
He's probably just the guy that makes sure that, you know, the other people stay off of his plot.
Still, though, I bet he had to get rid of that cell phone. I would assume.
You think?
Maybe not.
Did he answer when you called?
I didn't call.
Oh,
I'm
sure
assuming
you did.
That someone calls. There's a whole slash of.
I'm guessing somebody got through. I couldn't get through, but I'm
on
sure.
On 4chan,
they
probably the second they see a number, they impulsively call it.
Hey, what's Mr. Robot wearing?
I can see you. I can see what you're wearing.
So they're saying June, July, probably more July. So we should see some release.
Season 3?
Because season two
is really good.
Blah, ha, ha. Usual. Fool me no more, Mr. Lee. Tay Lee.
Yeah. All right. So let's go on to other things. We'll do the Technology Bytes info shot. It's all Peter Hughes all the time on the Technology Bytes info shot from San Antonio. Take it away, info shot.
It's the Technology Bytes Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
So, top thing, or, you know, biggest thing, you probably heard about it, but just wanted to make sure in the interest of thoroughness. According to a new court filing, government prosecutors basically have asked a federal judge to cancel the order that would have compelled Apple to assist them unlocking the San Bernardino iPhone. Because apparently they found a way to crack it. Let's see. The prosecutors in their filing said the government has now successfully accessed the data stored on Farouk's iPhone. That was the person who did the San Bernardino shooting, and therefore no longer requires the assistance from Apple Incorporated. It does not explain what they did or how they did it, and they have not explained what, if any, data was recovered. Ars Technica talked to the DOJ, and they did not respond to any questions of whether this technique would be disclosed to the court, to Apple, or even to the public. So on Monday evening, in a call with reporters, a law enforcement official who was anonymous said the DOJ would not comment on the possibility of future disclosures to Apple, adding that it would also not explain what data was accessed or what non-government entity helped them. He also said the FBI would continue to assist state and local law enforcement partners in lawfully accessing data held on mobile devices, suggesting that this technical and legal tactic could continue in the future. The thing that the core of this, and we mentioned it, but I don't know that we went into detail. The government relies on an obscure 18th century law from the 1790s, known as the All Writs Act, and I know we mentioned that, but I found out more about what the All Writs Act is. What it is it allows courts to compel people and companies to do certain actions, and it doesn't matter, apparently, whether there is a law about it or not, a specific law about it or not. So that seems like a pretty long stretch to get from the 1790s to now, as far as what a judge can compel people to do. I mean, that's sort of like what, you know, maybe they should call it the Simon Says Act, because apparently under this law, if the government asks, then a court can compel anybody to do certain actions, or what certain actions. So anyways, just that one's interesting. Let's see. Of course, this does show that Apple was right, that this was not the only way to get the information. And let's see. Other thing Ars mentions is that last Friday, Jonathan Zidziarski, a well-known iOS security and forensics expert, detailed a NAND mirroring attack, which demonstrates, quote, how copying back disk content could allow for unlimited passcode attempts. So who knows? Well, you know, it may be that at some point we find out how they cracked it. But so far the deal is that they apparently did crack it. I got two stories with ransomware. I guess be glad you don't own a hospital with unpatched servers, because they are apparently like the best targets for crypto ransomware attacks. There were two more. While attacks over the past few months have not been highly targeted, they've caused a great deal of disruption, and disruptions at hospitals have a much more dire impact than at most other businesses with, malware-based extortion. Multiple U.S. hospitals acknowledged last week that they had been forced to take systems offline in response to crypto ransomware infestations. And on Wednesday, security researchers at Cisco Talos Research revealed a new strain of crypto ransomware designed to attack vulnerable servers that appeared to be primarily focused on targets in healthcare. Nice. The latest disruption came on Monday when MedStar Health in Columbia, Maryland, reported malware had caused a shutdown of some systems in its hospitals in Baltimore. They didn't say anything out to the press, but they did post on Facebook to say that their IT system was affected by a virus that prevents certain users from logging into our system. MedStar acted quickly with a decision to take down all system interfaces to prevent the virus from spreading throughout the organization. It's like, ouch. Last week, staff at Methodist Hospital in Henderson, Kentucky, paid a ransom to restore the hospital systems, reportedly of $17,000, though sources familiar with the episode say the hospital paid a lot more. The Prime ransomware infection the Prime Healthcare was the prior one, and that was discovered on March 18th. So it seems like this is spreading more. The main source, it sounds like the ransomware attacks came in via phishing emails, but recently health providers have been infected through web servers running JBoss. So The malware called SamSam by Talos uses old, very public exploits right out of JexBoss, an open-source vulnerability testing tool for JBoss. Once the malware has a foothold on the server, it spreads to Windows machines on the same network. So this researcher, Craig Williams of Talos Research, told Ars, quote, "I wouldn't be surprised if this malware approach was extended toward WordPress and other content management systems. It's really just the natural progression of ransomware." So if you're running JBoss, I'm thinking you may be wanting to check out how important is that to you and if you want to kind of move on or make sure you're patched. And then the other ransomware thing, there's a new ransomware that installs in boot record and encrypts hard disk. It's called Petya. It performs a fake check disk and instead encrypts the master file table on your disk. How's that for nice? It takes crypto extortion to a new level. You know, while most cryptographic ransomware variants are selective about what they encrypt, leaving the computer usable so that the victim can still pay, the new one just does the entire startup drive. So encrypts the whole master file table. Bleeping Computer's Lawrence Abrahams documented Petya is currently being delivered via Dropbox links in email messages targeting human resources departments at companies in Germany. The links are purported to be to an application to be installed by the HR employee. Running the attachment throws up a window alert. If the user clicks to continue, Petya is inserted into the master boot record and the system restarts. On reboot, malware performs a fake Windows check disk, warning one of your disks contains errors and needs to be repaired. Petya then flashes up an ASCII skull and crossbones on a red and white screen announcing you became victim of the Petya ransomware. Then it gives instructions on how to get a key to restore the disk through one of two Tor hidden service onion sites. Excuse me. In Abrams' walkthrough of the site, the attackers demanded 0.90294 bitcoins in ransom to restore the drive. That's about $373 at current Bitcoin value. And the latest update on it is somebody's written an analysis of Petya and has found that the, quote, encryption used by Petya in its first phase is a simple fixed value XOR of the master boot record. So if you catch it at this step, the data can easily be recovered by booting from another drive and backing up the contents. On UEFI systems affected by Petya, the malware may just damage the boot information, making the drive unbootable but not encrypting its contents. So at least you have half a chance of getting your stuff out if you need to. And then finally, on a totally not malware approached thing, this week is Build 2016, which is Microsoft's big spring thing. And they announced a smaller phone. No, and a tablet. No, they didn't announce anything like that. according to Gizmodo, there was lots of new stuff, new Windows updates, new software for Xbox, and tons of bots. But the biggest stories or the biggest disappointments were things that were completely ignored. And they summed up, this is their best and the worst stuff for Microsoft's opening keynote. One of the best, they said, is that the it's called the anniversary update to Windows 10, which the official one-year anniversary is July 29th. And Microsoft will be releasing the anniversary update free for all Windows 10 users. And the update will be a new Windows Ink platform that will persuade you to use the Surface Pen or whatever pen you have more prolifically throughout Windows. Where pen applications usually remained within certain apps like OneNote, Windows 10 now has a new Sketchpad and Sticky Note application. They've also made adding these pen tools to apps easy with only two lines of code. They're also adding a new Ink workspace when you double-click the Surface Pen, so that's great news for anybody that owns a Surface. In addition to Windows Ink updates, Cortana and the Notification Center will be new and improved. On the developer side of things, the Bash Shell will be available in the Windows Store, not as a virtual machine, but as part of Windows 10. That's good news for Linux fans. And on the worst side, they said that the Windows Phone was almost completely ignored. Kevin Gallo, early in the keynote, mentioned a new code that can help port Windows Universal apps into either iOS or Android. One presenter picked up a Windows Phone to demo Skype and other bot integrations in Microsoft services, and that was the only use or mention of the Windows Phone. So I'm thinking if you got one of those, you may be wanting to think about what your platform is supposed to be. Sachin Nadella, the CEO, talked about conversations as a platform, CAP. I'm glad that he decided it wasn't conversations running a platform, but Microsoft thinks the future of computation will involve bots. In fact, the company thinks that apps themselves will soon go the way of the dinosaur. Microsoft built a bot framework for developers so they can create their own smart bot applications. Microsoft built its own pizza bot to demonstrate its vision. So Tay came up. They mentioned Tay as a worst, how it had been turned quickly into a racist teen bot. Another best, HoloLens is finally shipping to developers, and they apparently had some cool demos. Alex Kipman, the lead brain behind Microsoft's AR face pewter, I haven't heard it called that, but that's interesting, tearfully announced that the HoloLens is finally shipping for developers. Kipman also briefly showed how NASA's using HoloLens to explore Mars. Skype demoed a HoloLens app that creates video calls with an augmented reality window displaying your current contact. On the other end, your contact is watching from your point of view, so no, they don't see a giant close-up of your eyeball. Seems cool, though. Would be interesting, the author of this article says it would be interesting to see how HoloLens to HoloLens Skype conversations would even work, but it's great for anyone that wants to live out their very own Star Wars hologram fantasy. Virtual reality was still missing in action at Microsoft, and I guess finally the Xbox One becomes a full-fledged Windows machine. The Xbox One got some long-awaited updates, including Cortana, their kind of Siri, voice command assistant, and is finally integrated into the Windows Universal platform, which we mentioned last week, meaning full apps will be making its way to the console. Also, starting today, you can turn your Xbox One into a developer kit if that's something you want to do. There will be more Xbox details at E3, which is in June, so you have to wait for then, but that is the news.
Got to get Flicked back on the board. So
27 minutes, a little early tonight.
Yeah, I didn't want to finish up while he's cutting out.
Yeah.
It's coming up on the cutout time.
Yes, although that it hasn't been happening, so I'm wondering if daylight savings time, if maybe we'll have to watch it, 9:30, and see if it, if whatever it was doing recurs or not. Or we'll see if it happens now. Maybe they fixed it.
Someone can do like a cron-l and see if there's anything that says drop Pete scheduled for *30*. That would
be Jack with Tech Bytes. Who's Jack with Tech Bytes? We got a lot of guys on there. Nobody named Jack. So do you have a Surface Parrot? Or
I've got the Surface Book. I want to call it Pro. Is it just called Surface Book?
So, because I wonder, are you interested in the whole kind of ink thing and doing pen stuff, or is that not in your wheelhouse?
So it shipped with a pen. Microsoft sent me a replacement pen, and I've bought a pen. One of them got ran over by a truck around 19th Street. Not too, yeah. The other one just kind of died after, I don't really know why, and the third one's MIA. So really any pen would be good right now. I don't know. I like the idea of a pen, but my ability to hang on to one so far isn't that good.
Maybe that's not a bad idea though, because of your history with technology and you tend to destroy stuff. It's almost like this product has provided like a little sacrificial piece of technology that can get destroyed instead of it.
Yeah, I like
right?
that.
So
it's like sliders on a motorcycle. Or
so
something,
it's like every once in a while you have to sacrifice one of these to keep the actual device from being destroyed by you.
I'm fine.
I think the bigger lesson maybe is that Barrett and the input part of any device is a real problem.
Yeah, I think what the lesson here is that they really should have put a stronger magnet between the pin and the laptop, because usually that's when it just
stronger
falls off.
Magnet.
Yeah. So the thing is, yeah, the pin actually attaches to the side of the, you know, whatever you want to call it, the Surface Book, by a couple of internal magnets. So it's on there fairly good, but every once in a while, if you just hit it with the right force the right way, it just falls off. So I think that's how I lost it in the street, possibly. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah. And that one actually worked. That after that, so one of them just lightly dropped on a surface that shouldn't have broken it, totally went dead. This one, it worked for a good 2 days after it got hit by the truck. It was doing well. A little bent, but you know.
I think NASA should hire you to test their test out whatever equipment they're wanting to send to Mars. Or
yes, it will crash.
A hostile environment of Barrett's lifestyle.
In case aliens just hate tech.
Yeah. I must say, you know, that the Microsoft thing obviously didn't get the kind of hype that Apple's announcement stuff did. Partly, I think, because they can only announce new features. They can't really announce they're not really going to be able to announce new things. So just an interesting contrast. Although Apple could have pretty much skipped their deal, and I think the impact on people would have been about the same if they just handed out, you know, because the reviews are starting to come in on the iPhone SE and the new iPad
and the wristbands.
I'm sure that lots of in watch fancy and other cutting edge. I guess one of the questions with lowering the price on the Apple Watch is how low does the price have to get before more people just kind of go, why not? I'll try it. I got an iPhone.
I would wear one for maybe $3 or $4 a day. If they, I guess maybe they could pay me in iTunes dollars or which word are we talking about? Us paying for the watch? Okay, that's different.
Yeah, well, they dropped it, I guess $100.
$100, yeah.
So it turns it a lot. It's. I will say that it's sort of a large $100 because it does change the perception when it's 200.
25%, right? It's like
when it's 200 and something instead of $400.
It went from 400 to 300.
Yeah, $399 to $299 or something like that.
Yeah.
For the then I guess it's another $50 for the larger one because that's the like small sport.
There you go, it's 32.
32.
It's funny because I know for sure one of the other times it was 32 when it happened because I noticed that it was 32.
No, it was. It was 32, 32 just a second
down
ago.
It
was
30,
it's 20, 32, like, 32. Yeah. Are you back, Pete? No.
So I fell off
for a second.
Yes. You fell off. There you are.
Yeah, you were. You
I did.
You went right off at 8:32. Maybe he doesn't know he's back. Pete, we heard you.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that was a one-sided conversation.
That was a one-sided conversation. Mostly. I fell off. He was like, huh. All right, so the mystery lives on as to what's going on with our connection to San Antonio. I guess whoever the hacked that iPhone was
cron job.
To,
check the cron job or Windows scheduler. It's got to be a listed job.
Are you talking about Dwight?
No, I'm talking about losing
cron
Pete.
Job.
No, ha 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 ha.
See what I did there?
H, ha ha ha. CRON versus CHRON.
I know.
Mine is lamer. Yeah.
Ha. Well, we will wait and see if Pete makes his way back. What was he talking about? What were we talking about?
Apple Watches.
Barrett. I did see one used in the wild for the first time, I guess, this morning. Someone actually, how you can go and use an app to pay for coffee at places.
I know a couple people that have them.
So yeah, someone threw their wrist up and got that scanned and paid for coffee. So that's fairly practical.
I saw a guy talking to his watch yesterday. I was like, oh, it's an Apple Watch.
Hey, Dick Twicey.
Hey. Two-way wrist radio.
What seems to be more prolific are Fitbits and fitness trackers.
I see a lot more of those.
I do. Yeah, I see a lot more of those. It's almost as, but I think you have to be of a certain physique or whatever to wear one. It's like if I'm sitting there with my beer gut, drinking coffee in a coffee shop with my Fitbit going, what's my
is this a, you're still fat? All right.
I'm still sedentary.
Still heavy.
And I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about myself. I am that guy.
Well, a lot of them look, they look to me like a lot of the support bracelets too, like the multicolored kind of thing. So they're kind of sleeper. Like I've got to kind of do a double take, and a lot of them will have like, I guess, a little count or, you know, something that just maybe gives like a brief count of the time. But that's how I usually tell those apart from, like, you know, I support X cause or Y cause.
Right. All right. Hello.
I wonder who that could be.
Do you have to answer that?
No.
Groove isn't going to answer it.
I'm not.
It's coming in on the computer, right?
Yeah.
So he's dialing us?
I don't know.
Is that not normally what it does?
No. I don't know what he's
doing.
He's
just usually there when we pick him up.
You should probably take the call in case it's Pete or your mom.
Hello?
Well, this is great.
Is this that land shark I've heard about?
Candygram. Perfect show, by the way, I would like to say.
I can't tell you how thrilled I am. Just so thrilled. All right, so let's see. We go to the show prep. show prep. Let's see what he's got. I don't think I have any.
So while you do that, circling very, very quickly back to the guy, the building manager.
Hey. Take your time, Barrett. It's okay. Take your time.
Back.
You have to go quickly.
So the guy had his phone on there, kind of joking about, you know, get rid of the phone, get a burner phone. But there is, and I forget who it is. It is a, I want to say, someone in the house out of California who is trying to make burner phones illegal, to where you can't just walk in and buy a SIM card or buy a phone without giving over, you know, your deets.
Really?
Yeah, the argument here is that that's apparently when, you know, everyone, I guess no one really knew, unless you were like a hacker or, you know, the guy that ran your drug dealer on Twitter, you probably didn't know what a burner phone was until all the terrorists started using them, and then they came out and said,
TV.
There's Pete.
Yeah, I was going to say, the first time I remember hearing people talk about burner a lot was Breaking Bad and
The Wire.
Like CSI.
The Wire.
Bad kind of uses. But, you know, there's people out there that can't get credit. There are people out there that, you know, for whatever reason would like to have a phone that, you know, isn't signed up to a contract or anything like that. And they're kind of trying to take that away under the auspices of, hey, terrorists use this, drug dealers use this, bad people use this. It shouldn't be out there. So we'll see how that develops. I hope that doesn't go away. But
don't they use the bathroom also?
Yeah, I know. I know.
They had a whole episode about burner phones on the latest season of Mr. Robot.
So here's a question about phones that none of us will know the answer to, but I'll ask anyway. Is there a legal requirement for there to be payphones in existence? Like, do they have to have them, like, for people to make emergency calls?
I wouldn't think so, because they seem like they're disappearing everywhere.
But they always exist outside of, like, stop and goes and
a lot of those are gone now.
So the main places you find them, at least in the major cities, are going to be, I guess, so most of them are privately owned now, I think is what the deal is. So they're COCOTS, COCOTS, whatever that stands for, coin-operated telephone, something like that. So it's privately owned.
And they cost like $7 to make a call.
Yeah, no, and the deal is, so it's people that actually have to go around. So the phone companies don't send people around, at least in the areas that we broadcast in, to go get the coin. So it's like kind of subsidized out to these other people that do it. So the only places you're going to find them usually are the places where they're going to make money. And that's people that are getting out that don't have a cell phone on them. So you see them around prisons, outside of jails. In some, like, really poor parts of town, you'll still see them around.
What about, like, laundromats?
Yeah, but if it's in a poor part of town.
Because people have coins.
Yeah. Ah, there you go.
And they have to pick up coins.
Yeah. But look around. You don't see that many payphones anymore. They're few and
arcade,
far between.
Arcades.
Yeah. And even sadder than that, a lot of them are impervious to the red boxing and stuff like that, because they don't work over the old analog tones. They're all digital now. So it doesn't work anymore. If you can find one.
Well, if you can find an arcade, I guess, then you could probably find. Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of them are gone from. A lot of them used to be, you know, at stop and goes and gas stations and stuff like that. You'd see them around, and every once in a while, when I think of it, I like kind of look to see, or else I see one that's still there, and it highlights how few places they're around anymore. Because sort of virtually everyone has a cell phone. At this point. So, I mean, they don't make a lot of money off it.
Right. I just wondered if there was any kind of, like, you know, requirement to keep them in existence.
I don't think so. That would probably fall under FCC, and I don't think so. I know that, like, when you put a public phone up, I know that it's got to be wired into the 911 system, and it's got to adhere to some, you know, some rules like that. But I don't think that they're mandating saying, hey, you must have a public telephone every one per every, you know, X amount of people or one per every X square miles. I don't think that's a mandate.
Because I think in New York City, they're converting the phone booths, the few phone booths that remain, into, like, Wi-Fi sources.
Yeah, all the ones in Britain have become TARDISes. It's
oh, I thought they'd become advertising for sex phone lines, because when I was there, that was, you know, you look into an iconic, you know, British phone box, and it's just all these stickers and cards with pictures that would not make it on American television, with phone numbers that they're wanting people to call. You gotta go, these phone booths are glass. It's not closed up like the TARDIS. It's not like police box. It's glass on the outside and see-through, so I don't quite get the whole concept on that.
The CoCut stuff, it stands for customer-owned coin-operated telephone. So this is what took over in 84.
So it's called CoCup?
CoCut. CoCut, C-O-C-O-T-S, C-O-C-O-T. So the deal is, yeah, back in 84, I guess when they came in and deregulated a lot of the phone companies and all that kind of stuff, they brought in some competition from these guys. They said, hey, just like, you know, I guess DSL companies now have to open up the wires and the lines, you know, cable companies have to open up their lines to the providers. Same thing went in here. So apparently the private people kind of starved out the actual Ma and Pa Bells, and those are now gone. So now it looks like it's only CoCut. So it's, unless someone is making money off that and they want to go sponsor one, you can't do it. Now I wonder if you can still get a payphone installed in your house. That would be kind of cool.
No.
Have y'all never heard of that? I knew a couple of teenagers. This may be urban myth, but it had payphones installed in their houses. So the parents wouldn't have to pay for the phone bill. The teenagers would have to, you know, put in coins and so
idea.
On and so forth. I think so.
Yeah, jeez.
I wonder if you can download an app that makes you have to pay to use the phone, a cell phone.
There's probably monitoring stuff out there now, I'm sure, if parents really want to lock down stuff. But
I'd settle for one that makes the kids have to use a whistle from a Captain Crunch box to make their phone work.
So those are still out there. I know we're not supposed to talk prices and stuff on air, but someone in some hacker kind of whatever, some forum posted something, and you can find them on eBay.
Yeah, I saw one on eBay. There's one on eBay, or was one on eBay the other day for like 100 and something.
Yeah, I've seen them for the hundreds. I've also seen them for like 30 and 40,
I
too.
Saw one go old... for $30 that I missed.
Yeah,
if I'd have known it was there, I would have grabbed it.
Yeah, so we need to coordinate, because I would like to someday get a hold of one. We need to make sure we're not bidding on the same one. Or Toto. All of us. All three of us.
All right. So, we got Pete back. You went out exactly at 8:23, by the way.
Or 8:32. Yeah, well, and boy, it went off. This time it was like...
For a minute.
Usually, well, it was for a while, and it completely cut off. Usually the controlling the server stuff stays connected.
Yeah.
It just, you know, disconnects the call and then it'll reconnect. Yeah, no, this time it was just everything. It would not connect to the station at all. So I don't know what they're, it's like, oh, let's reboot the routers at 8:32 every night or something. But all right, well, time to play a sound file.
Bite.
So now we have some Apple stuff since last week's thing, you know, that sort of, I guess it kind of unblocked things because, you know, all the rumors leading up to it. And then now there's new stuff. But this one, actually, one of them is, you know, they released iOS 9.3. And unfortunately, shortly after they released it, iPhone and iPad users began complaining about a bug that causes multiple built-in and third-party apps to crash or freeze after a web link is tapped or pressed using a long press. The issue doesn't affect all users, but based on threads in the Mac Rumors forums and the Apple support communities, it's impacting a wide range of iOS users, ranging from the iPhone 5 all the way up to the 6S Plus, the iPad Air 2, and the iPad Mini. They haven't confirmed what the issue is, but there's speculation it's related to Apple's Universal Links feature. That's that one where when you do a long press, it'll show the page. According to mobile specialist Ben Collier, the shared web credentials daemon, which allows apps and websites to share login credentials for universal linking purposes, may also be a factor. Apps with large deep linking files for use with universal linking could also be causing the problem, as many users who had installed the Booking.com app have experienced crashing and freezing issues. The Booking.com app, though now fixed, was originally using an overly large 2.3 megabyte deep linking file. So since there's no fix for it, some users have had success turning off JavaScript in the settings app by going to Safari Advanced. But, of course, then you kind of wreck your web browsing experience. Force closing affected apps and restarting the iOS device does not solve the problem. So I guess that's one of those, is you may just want to not long press a link if you're using an iPhone or an iPad, and wait for the next update. Actually, the web linking bug is the second major bug on iOS 9.3. The first rendered some older devices unusable due to a problem with activation lock, which required customers to enter the information originally used to set up their iPhone or iPad, which you really want to do that on an older device, because, of course, you're going to remember everything you put in, you know, 4 years ago. Apple issued a new version of iOS 9.3 on Monday to fix that issue. On the rumor front, and I don't know on this one, it kind of doesn't make sense to me, because it would be out of cycle. But there is a rumor that the 2017 iPhone, which I guess would be the iPhone 7S if they followed their current pattern. This came from Ming-Chi Kuo of KGI Securities, said that Apple is likely to release a new iPhone with glass casing and an AMOLED display, which contradicts an earlier note from the analyst that said Apple was aiming for that by 2018. He said he believes Apple will decide between a glass, plastic, and ceramic casing for the 2017 model, but will ultimately settle on glass as it did with the iPhone 4, because plastic doesn't offer thin and light form factor designs, and it would not be easy to precisely control the tolerance of ceramic. He also said that the 2017 iPhone will feature both a curved display and a curved glass body. Additionally, he said the 2017 iPhone will adopt a curved display. The device will feature a glass front and back with metal sides. He also said the phone will feature a, quote, completely new form factor design, unquote, with more narrow bezels and a more comfortable grip. As rumored in the past, KGI also believes Apple will introduce a new 5.8-inch iPhone in 2017 with an AMOLED display. That's that organic LED thing that's supposed to be clearer and better. Despite the larger display, however, the device will feature a form factor that's ultimately smaller than the current 5.5-inch iPhone. If Apple's able to produce enough of the 5.8-inch displays, the larger device will replace the 5.5-inch model, meaning Apple will offer 4.7-inch and 5.8-inch iPhones in 2017. They're also expecting wireless charging, although the specs aren't clear. Additional biometric recognitions, maybe facial recognition or eye recognition. Also, it'll fly, and it will erase Batman versus Superman from your memory if you choose. Those are all just rumors. It's all iPhone 2017, so you have to wait a while. The other thing, I don't know, when they talk about iPhone 2017, I'm wondering if they're meaning the one that gets released this fall, if Apple follows their normal pattern, or if they think that Apple's going to wait and in the spring change iPhones to the spring for a release. It also may not have a headphone port. So there's that as the rumor roundup on the new iPhone. And then the last thing is just when you're used to OS 10, or maybe confused by, you know, that OS 10.11 is the current OS 10. apparently there's references to macOS as a potential rebranding of OS 10 and an unused but existing flight utilities framework that could be used to add flight tracking as a default service in future versions, but it also mentions calling it macOS. His name is Guilherme Rambo, and he has speculated that the next major version of OS 10, which was expected to be called 10.12, might be rebranded to macOS and a version number, so like macOS 11, to bring symmetry to the other OS platform names. So it may not happen, but apparently there is some stuff in the code that says Mac OS. And, you know, actually, the odd part is the company dropped the Mac part of the OS name in 2012, simply calling it OS X. So we'll keep an eye on that one and see if they change the name. I think maybe putting Mac back in might help people understand what you're talking about and also narrow it down between iOS and Mac OS, because I think people make that distinction anyway lately. And that's Apple news.
Give me my watch.
Has the price dropped even farther? Actually, you know, the retail price on the Apple Watch is not the lowest price you can find around. If you watch, there are unintended pun there. Now, if you watch, I've seen like Best Buy and other major places have had it where they have it for $50 off of Apple's price. So that puts you down, you know, the larger sport watch for around $250 or $260. That starts getting a lot closer. I think as they get closer to $200 for an Apple Watch, that would certainly get a lot more compelling to me as a possibility of buying one.
So the new curved iPhone sounds a whole lot like the Samsung Galaxy Edge family with the S6. And I guess they just released the S7 just, you know, right after I have an unbroken S6. It goes into obsolescence. So have you seen pictures? Is it going to be that degree of kind of curviness, or what are they going for?
So far it's all in text. Ming Kuo doesn't do renderings. He just gives descriptions. And so, I don't know. I haven't seen anybody who's tried to kind of, you know, part of it is Apple. That's one of those things. I think having people talk about the specs, they're not too torn up about, but if you had pictures of like sort of the actual stuff, if you put that out there, I think Apple would come down hard on whoever it was. Cause it's really easy to understand that, you know, when you see, you know, it's like, cause that's what happens when they have their big, you know, event where they announce these things is they show the phone. They, you know, once you get a look at it, then you've got an idea of what they're trying to do. Does the Samsung is it AMOLED as far as the display?
I should know this just off the top of my head, but I know that Samsung and a lot of the Galaxy line has been AMOLED for, you know, two or three generations now. And I know it's cheaper now, too. It's actually cheaper to make AMOLED than it is traditional screens. I think last generation they got the development process down a little bit tighter.
Huh. The pricing on that and to get it to the larger phones, I guess apparently they've gotten better at that. Of course, Samsung's they make them. I'm sure they're one of the big screen suppliers. So of course they're going to get them first.
Yeah. That's what I would think. So Pete, you probably remember this. Wasn't there a time when Apple was suing Samsung over making phones that were too similar in design to the iPhone?
Yeah, that case, I believe that case is still in the courts.
I wonder if they can just point and say like, look, iPhone 7, Galaxy S.
I think Apple just appealed the ruling that said that Samsung didn't have to give them any money, and so it's back. You know, it's cranking back up again or something. But another just sort of odd, you know, just it's businessy news, but it does affect displays and stuff. It sounds like Foxconn has bought, which is the company that makes Apple phones, has bought controlling interest in Sharp. So a Chinese manufacturer buying a Japanese television company or screen company or whatever Sharp has become now.
Yeah, well, there are only three or four companies in the world that make screens right now, and I want to say that you just mentioned two of them. So that's going to be an interesting kind of show off, stand down.
So, yeah, well, you wonder, did Foxconn buy this because they know there's something from Sharp they can use and put in for Apple products? I don't know, but. They sure as heck, Apple, you know, one of the things where they're just way behind everybody else, they have the 5K iMacs, but if you're wanting to hook a screen up to anything else, like say a laptop or any of that, there's no, you know, it's still the same old Apple screen from, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. The specs are not really any different. There's a Thunderbolt one, so you get to use the Thunderbolt cable, but that's the only change they've made in way too long. So I don't know what the story is there. I mean, it sounds like right now it's like the best choices for if you want a 4K or better screen for a Mac. It's like Dell and other, you know, LG and some of these other companies are the ones where you're going to get it, and the Apple screen isn't it. So, you know, I care about those kinds of things a little bit more, doing more, you know, because of some of the design work. I don't do lots, but I do enough. And but the 4K screen, you know, for coding, it means you can put a lot more stuff on the same real estate and still be able to read it. So I don't know why Apple's kind of holding back on that one, but
I think they're waiting to release a new trash can machine, and then they'll get on the screens. Isn't that fairly old? Isn't that 2.5 years old now?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So it's an odd, it's just seems odd that they're lagging on, you know, they're big enough. It's not like they only have three teams or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Only do one division at a time.
iPhones, you know, well, and they've slowed down, you know, it gets to where you start, you know, it does raise questions. It's kind of like, okay, they're behind on the laptop updates. They haven't got, most of them haven't got processor updates yet. And the screens, it's sort of like, are they just focusing everything on the iPhone and sort of the iPad? And is the computer side of this sort of falling to the side? They're making a lot of money off it. So it's kind of odd that, you know, they're one of the only companies that made more money this year or last year than the year before off their computer business, just the computer part of the business. Everybody else lost 10-20% of their business, some of them. It seems to me to be sort of odd because, like I said, you know, they have more than 10 or 12 people to work on this stuff. So it seems like they should be able to put out some products.
All right. Well, there's that music that tells us it's time to take our top of the hour break. Catch a quick 2 minutes snooze. See if flush out the internet tubes and make sure that's working.
I don't want to flush this out.
What?
I'm not touching those. Internet tubes?
Turn the handle.
It's only 8:32 twice a day.
It's 8:30. A broken clock at 8:32 drops Pete twice a day. All right. Well, you've been listening to Technology Bites. We'll be back after this short break. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Groovehouse.
The 29th Annual Houston Art Car Parade is coming Saturday, April 9th at 2 p.m. to downtown Houston, running along Smith Street from Peace to Walker. Join KPFT at the Starting Line Party for live parade announcing and festivities starting at 11 a.m. For more information, visit www.thehoustonartcarparade.com. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
KPFT recientemente ha finalizado su campaña de membresías que tuvo al aire. Si usted fue uno de los muchos radioescuchas quienes se unieron a esta campaña, muchas gracias. Antes de que lo sepa, su sobre de membresía llegará por correo. No olvide mandar su donación. El gran sentimiento que usted obtiene cuando apoya KPFT es mejor una vez que usted haya colocado su cheque en el correo. Y si usted perdió la oportunidad de unirse y apoyar las noticias, la música u otra gran programación que usted escucha cada día, aún hay tiempo. Únase por vía internet visitando la página www.kpft.org y haga su parte. Gracias una vez más por apoyar a la radio de la comunidad. Esta es libre de comerciales, patrocinada por Radio Escuchas, Radio Pacífica, KPFT, Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. We now return to Technology Bites.
Technology Bites.
Already in progress. So I wonder, is Lee charged up yet? tomorrow, stuff that's coming up, tomorrow is the Tesla Model 3 unveiling. Although Elon Musk has said that it's just part one of two, so I don't know what that means.
I think it's really early on in it, so maybe he means that there will be another unveiling where it's actually going to be built instead of just a – it's just a model.
It's only a model. Tomorrow is part one of the Model 3 unveil. This is a tweet from Elon Musk. Part two, which takes things to another level, will be closer to production. He notes it's not clear exactly what that means, although he notes in a follow-up reply that, quote, important elements, unquote, will be added between now and production. So you just wonder what they're going to put on there that would...
Like the body.
Change. Well, I saw there was an article that was saying that what Tesla really should sell is just the platform and let people do it like they used to do with cars way, way back, 100 years ago. They would sell the powertrain chassis, and then a coach builder would take it and turn it into whatever car.
Oh, it's all customs.
Yeah. Well, you could do that with electric. I mean, it's kind of like building your own computer.
They were originally going to do that with the GM was doing that with the design that was used for the Solstice and the Sky.
Yeah, where it was like a skateboard. Look, the base thing was the sort of skateboard.
Yeah, so the idea is they were going to use that lower frame and have a lot of cars built off that to lower prices, but that's the only two, as far as I know, that's the only two vehicles they ever used that on, and then they discontinued that. So, but the new skateboard, Model 3 skateboard design is, I guess, kind of similar to that. Except it's electric.
There you go. Yeah, well, and it seemed like when GM was announcing that kind of multi-use thing that it was like going to be whatever multiple platforms, they had in mind,
right,
an electric version of it, because they would put battery all in that chassis, and that would be where it would, that it would be part of it and keep the center of gravity low, et cetera, et cetera. But, I guess not. So, at least you have the Tesla Model 3 step one, I guess. Maybe, you wonder, is he just trying to sort of, is he maybe trying to lower expectations a little? Which the tough part is, if he's lowering expectations, is GM is coming with their car that's, same price or lower and has 200 miles range and so on. So he may need to, at some point Tesla may need to kick it into gear. One of the other things I heard with the Tesla deal is that, it was sort of hinted that if you're wanting a Tesla Model S, that you should buy it now, because there's going to be some kind of changes, and so the presumption would be that the price might be going up.
Even like you have to do the $1,000 down like that soon, or because it's not supposed to be out for like another.
No, the Model S.
Oh,
that's
S,
the one that's already
the S.
Out, the three.
Okay. Yeah.
The Model S that if you were interested in a Model S, that now is the time to buy one.
Oh.
One of the rumors is that they're going to drop the lowest end, the smallest battery pack one, and that they're going to add, I mentioned it a few weeks ago on the show, somebody found in the code for the Tesla a Model 100, Model S 100, which would be the next bigger battery size from what you can get right now, and that would go, you know, even more miles. And so it may be that they're going to drop the bottom model and put a higher end top end model, and that the price will go up. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that one and mention it if we hear anything. But now I think it's time to try buy or fry.
In the geek world, we hear about new gadgets and gizmos every day. But can they stand a dip in the snark tank?
So you kids at home, you know, maybe some of you don't know what a like landline at home is, but would you like one if Google had it? Because Google Fiber has just announced they're going to do home phone service. And the thing that's going to be a little different about their service is it's going to be more like Google Voice, which, you know, quick aside, it's Google Voice is free. I don't know if others on the show are using it, but I definitely use it.
I've got Google Voice.
It's a great way to have a local phone number in different places, or to have a phone number that you can give out to, you know, to stuff where you want it pre-screened, because it puts in that extra layer. But anyways, Google has just announced Fiber Phone, confirming rumors that the company would be adding a home telephone service to its existing high-speed internet and cable TV offerings. While mobile phones have pushed us toward the future, home phone service is still important to many families, said John Shriver Blake, Fiber's product manager, in a blog post. Landlines can be familiar, reliable, and provide high quality service, but the technology just hasn't always kept up, he said. So it's not copper landline in the traditional sense, but it's $10 a month. It gives you unlimited local and nationwide calling. When you need to place international calls, the rates are identical to Google Voice. It has features from Google Voice. Your fiber number lives in the cloud, according to Google. You can use it on almost any phone, laptop, or tablet. It can ring your landline when you're home, or your mobile device when you're on the go. It's not launching in all the current Google Fiber cities. Instead, it's going to be rolling out in phases. There's a place where you can sign up. If you go to geekradio.com, there's links to all the articles that we're talking about tonight. You'll need a fiber phone box that works with existing handsets to place calls at home. I'm guessing that's basically the adapter from voice over IP to your plain old telephone service. But this does make Google look a bit more like your typical cable provider, but we doubt that Google will push it on customers to such an aggressive and annoying extent. The biggest problem with Google Fiber is that it's not available in as many places, or that's not available where I live, and it's not available in as many places as you would hope it would be. Quite frankly, I'm ready for some gigabit internet at my house with a phone system and all that. I think I would be real close to the buy end of the pool if Google Fiber got anywhere near. They're supposed to come to San Antonio, and
do they know what part of San Antonio though?
They haven't said. I haven't heard that they've ended their evaluation. Now, in response, AT&T said that they're offering gigabit Ethernet in San Antonio. The thing about that one that's worse than Google, frankly, is they won't tell you where. You have to put in your address and your zip code, and it tells you if it's available. And I have not heard from any person anywhere who's put in their address and had it say, yes, it's available.
So maybe they're just using that to like see where the demand is, so then they can offer it in that area.
Maybe maybe they're only offering it if you happen to have the same address as the highest level AT&T executive in San Antonio. You know, just his house is close enough, or it's one of those where they don't deserve the I think that gets really close to misleading when they announce something like that, unless they can't tell you kind of how many.
They're probably
homes
also trying to like get people to wait on, oh, well, it's not in my area yet, but it's going to be, it's already, you know, in San Antonio, so it's got to be soon.
Yeah, I've got UVerse, so it should be here. Yeah, I mean, meanwhile, I give Time Warner credit. They bumped up their service, went from where the highest you could get was 100 megabit. It moved up to 300 megabit, and they didn't raise their rates. So, you know, so it was basically if you were buying the top end, if you were buying the 100 megabit, you got the 300 for the same price as you've been paying before, which in the world of internet service providers is what passes for being generous. So yeah, you know, you'd think obviously Houston might be a tough, that would be a big bowling ball to swallow for Google to put enough fiber to serve even any kind of major part of Houston. So that would be difficult, but, and then I guess also older parts of like San Antonio are not going to have, you know, they're not going to have fiber running all over the place. They had fiber where I live, one of the places that I lived, but they don't in the current place I'm living. In one town they had it, and you could have U-verse with decent speed internet, but not in any place else. So here's one that I wonder if anybody, you know, it's for your iPhone or your iPad. Apple basically ripped off, if you've heard of Flux, it's called Night Shift, which modifies your computer's display or your tablet or iPhone's display so that there's less blue light. The idea is that the screen looks warmer and goes more towards the yellow-orange end of the spectrum, and that it will make you not stay awake as much because the blue light supposedly makes you wake up. But it's not clear. I don't know that it's clear if it really helps people or helps people fall asleep or not. The Verge, they say, before we get into Night Shift, it may be helpful to understand how light works. First of all, it's a particle and a wave. No, they don't go that far. No, there's lots of kinds of light, and not all of them are visible. At one end, there's UV light, gamma rays, and X-rays. At the other are infrared rays and radar. What's visible to us is a very narrow band, and blue light is near the UV end, near the towards X-rays and that stuff. Sunlight appears white until it's passed through a prism and the full spectrum forms. Artificial light, however, emits slightly different wavelengths. Fluorescent lights vary in color based on the blend of their parts. LED lights emit more blue than regular lights. It's also helpful to remember the light's color based on the spectrum isn't the same as the light's perceived color. The latter is what our brains do to interpret our surroundings, and we're very good at adjusting for transitions in light during the day. That's why white objects still look white even when the light changes. So you know that one. But there is some science behind light affecting our natural rest patterns. Blue light helps set our body clocks, circadian rhythms, if you're feeling fancy and can talk. The natural human body clock is actually 24.2 hours, which is why it's easy to stay up too late. That's according to Raj Dasgupta, a sleep medicine specialist at the University of Southern California. So the idea is by changing the light and getting rid of the blue light, that you'll be able to fall asleep because it won't be waking you up or telling you that it's, you know, morning through the light. The other thing it affects is it can be a source of eye strain. It doesn't necessarily harm your eyes like UV light, which can cause cataracts, but it's not a high quality light to see by. So I don't know if anybody's tried it. I put Flux on my computer and I can't be certain, but it seems like it's easier to go to sleep after being on the computer too late at night, like I tend to do. Has any of you guys tried to use like Flux or any of that stuff?
I haven't.
No, not yet.
I heard of it. I remember seeing an article about it, talking about it. It's supposed to help you still get to sleep after you've been using it, a computer or your phone.
So, yeah, I don't, it's one of those that it's tough, you know, the anecdotal. I mean, I've had it for months. I put it on. I mean, it was free, so it wasn't like it was that big a deal, but I can't tell if it... You know, it's a tough one because it's not like, you know, of course, because you don't go from like just like totally wide awake to, you know, immediately asleep no matter what. So it's all just perception. So then you have to half wonder, is this like one of those psychosomatic things where since they told you it's supposed to make it easier to sleep?
So they need like a placebo flux app.
How would you do that? Put a blue filter on your screen or something instead? Well, so those might be things to try. You know, the Google phone, if you can get one. You can do Google Voice. Frankly, I highly recommend it. It basically does voice over IP through anything. If you need a second phone line for business or whatever, I think they're still doing them, and I still think they're free. But here's one that somebody actually could buy. Well, of course, you have to decide if you want this or a Tesla Model S. You know, the Pontiac doesn't make the Trans Am anymore because they're not doing that. I guess they're one of the ones that got killed, right?
Yeah,
I know
they,
Oldsmobile went.
They don't exist anymore.
But you can still get the Trans Am SE Bandit Edition. If you're of a certain age, the term Eastbound and Down or Smokey and the Bandit means something to you.
How can
it means everything to me.
Also the Screaming Chicken. The Screaming Chicken also means something. Well, this company called Trans Am Depot purchased the license to use the name and logo and built exactly 77 of these Bandits. You know, basically, the Trans Am was based on the Camaro. So essentially, they took a Camaro and did the things to it to be equivalent to the Trans Am. It does have the Pontiac badge on the grill, complete with the shaker hood, T-tops, and snowflake wheels. Each Trans Am gets an extra boost from a V8 engine. Yeah, this is a little different than the one in the 70s. 840 horsepower.
That'll get you there.
And to top it all off, each of these 77 cars comes signed by Burt Reynolds himself.
And a gold Sharpie right on the hood.
And Jackie Gleason still can't catch you in the car with his... Paul Williams is still alive.
Yep.
There is no way. No way!
Soon everyone get the 77 reference. Why are they making 77 of them?
Because that was the year...
Yep. Year the movie came out. I don't think it says it in there. But the movie came out in 1977.
You could take the money. You can either buy this or you can have a pretty good start on a Tesla Model S.
Or you could have 126 pallets of Coors beer.
If these are cheaper than Model S, then you should get the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am.
Right in the middle. There's the Model S starts at like 80,000 and goes up to 130, I think. 130 or 140. This comes in at around 115 grand. So what people in 1977 would call a really nice house worth of car. Or actually, that was probably pretty high. That was pretty high end in 1977, as I recall. Anyways, so here's one. How about a Chromebook with 14 hours of battery life? That's pretty good. Acer's they're kind of doing premium Chromebooks. It's got a 14-inch IPS display, and it's all aluminum. So essentially, it's the Acer MacBook Air looking Chromebook. So, it's the first all metal Chromebook from Acer. Has an aluminum chassis with rounded corners. Weighs 3.4 pounds. It looks like all the other stuff. It's one of the first Chromebooks to look like a MacBook Pro clone. Was a Toshiba Chromebook 2, and Acer's Chromebook 14 fits that bill as well. But the display, the only thing is, it's got a 14-inch IPS screen. You can either get it with 1080p, the full HD, or 1366 by 768. What an unusual size. But if you want the 14-hour battery life, you have to have the smaller screen because that's where all the battery life kind of goes. The 1080p model should get at least 12 hours on a single charge, though. So, it seems like a lot of these for the Chromebooks, it's like a good choice for the kids because it'll work in the car, on a car trip or if they take it somewhere, you don't have to charge it up all the time, like maybe laptops that take less time. They haven't announced all the pricing, but it starts at $299. And that actually, the funny part is the cheaper one is the one that has the better battery life because it's got the smaller display. It has 4 gigs of RAM, so that's not bad, especially for, with Chrome OS is not as memory intensive as a lot of others. But to get the 4 gig, you do have to pay extra from the $299. Even with the Acer Chromebook 14, 2 gigs of RAM will be standard on the base model, 4 gig being the max. There's going to be several models, but they haven't put out the pricing on it. The one right now is the one that's $300 is a 1.6 gigahertz Intel Celeron processor, 1080p display, 32 gigs of storage, and 4 gigs of RAM for the $299. So that'll give you the 12-hour battery life one, and it's not a bad price for a laptop if that happens to meet your needs. I would put that under the try category. I wouldn't mind seeing how that would work for like one of my kids. Go to the more laptop mm-hmm. thing and for the lesser price, because if something happens to it, you don't have to take out a mortgage to fix the computer. You just toss it another one. Maybe, and this is cheap enough, maybe someday we can get one of these manufacturers to like throw us a tester. But and now totally on from a totally different approach, one of the things that's been intriguing me of late, and I haven't like broken down and started, but cold brew coffee seems like that might be something that would be pretty awesome. You know, that's supposed to taste better than like French press coffee, and it keeps, so you can have like in your refrigerator, you can have a thing of coffee and have either heat it up or drink it iced.
Yes. It is liquid crack. I keep yes, a lot it of is it around. Good. And the stuff I get, it actually says, you know, when I first did this probably about a year and a half ago when, you know, we worked like 4 or 5 days straight with like 2 naps in there during a crunch time. And it says that you're supposed to, you know, like mix it with water and ice and stuff like that. Cause I find actually, so it's iced coffee concentrate that's made locally here in Houston. You can get it fairly large bottle. And towards the end, I was just, you know, like drinking it straight from the thing.
From the bottle.
Yeah, just straight from
that's
the bottle.
That's my boy, Barry.
You haven't been keeping a bottle of 5-hour energy.
I stopped riding that lightning. Yeah,
good.
There
were some
internal organs I would like to have when I'm 80. So yeah. I'm just going
need your liver.
Caffeine now. Yeah.
Well, like any geek, good geek, you got to have, you know, equipment for this stuff. And I found this one on Uncrate. It's called the Yama Silverton Coffee Dripper. And the thing that's interesting about this one is usually you have to buy like purpose built stuff for coffee. So it's like hot coffee. There's the ones where it's the drip, you know, if you want to do the kind of pour over thing with all the timing and all that stuff, or cold coffee, you had to buy, or the, you know, cold brew, you had to buy two separate deals. This one is one sort of device. I mean, it's kind of steampunk without any power other than to heat up the water. If you're doing hot coffee, but it's crafted from hand blown borosilicate glass, and then the siphon has a stainless steel or a ceramic filter, depending on what you're wanting to try to do. And then it has an adjustable copper valve, copper arm and valve to control the drip rate and easily switch between hot and cold brews. So it's basically got, you know, for the kind of retro and it's technology, yes, but it's like a wooden base with a pitcher shaped carafe that sits on the wooden base. And then it has a copper arm that holds, you know, the funnel shaped deal where you put the coffee filter and the stuff, and then has a copper valve, steampunk looking valve that you use to adjust the stuff.
If you had a hipster that worked in IT at the bottom of a coal mine, this is what he would come up and make his coffee with at the end of a long shift.
So yeah, at some point I'll right now my coffee, it's sort of weird because coffee usually is like lots of machinery and tech, you know, whether it's a drip a Mr. Coffee, or if you've got an espresso machine or one of those that like makes 20 different coffee drinks at the push of a button. The stuff I've been going towards lately is a lot more, you know, retro, and mostly right now I do French press. So it's like, it takes less time than a, you know, like a regular drip coffee maker, and it tastes better. So we've been doing that, but yeah, I would like to, I'd be tempted to go to the cold brew thing if I ever get the inclination, time, and cash at the same time.
You just have to think ahead. And you can actually do it a lot like sun tea. You just need a big glass thing and some tea bags to put the coffee grounds in. But yeah, it just takes, you know, to do it the right way, you need 24 hours. Like, cold coffee, iced coffee shouldn't be hot coffee with ice cubes thrown in glass. Which is what some places still do, you know, in certain parts of the world.
Yeah, or their leftover coffee that they just stuck in the fridge after the end of the shift. Well, and the tough part is, I guess, you know, I've seen some that you just put in the refrigerator and do it. Which the plus side of something like that, though, is, of course, you can buy two, and then you can have one that's the current one that you're drinking out of and the one that's making tomorrow's coffee. But I'm not going to buy – I wouldn't buy two of these coffee drippers because they're like – it's over $100. and then finally, you know, if your kids at home – tell your parents you only want one Star Wars. If that you promise, if they just buy this, you'll only get one Star Wars action figure. And then after they agree to it, you hold them to it when you tell them you want the life-size Stormtrooper action figure, the ultimate Star Wars action figure. It's life-sized. It's over 6 feet tall.
Made by real dolls.
Hey, it's $8,000.
About the same price.
But it looks, it does, you know, the picture. Yeah, well, tell us more about this, about your Star Wars real doll finish. It comes with sculpted armor and a helmet that has been given a high gloss white paint finish. It has a blaster replica in its hands for extra intimidation. The thing is, it doesn't move. It doesn't have any articulation.
And it's a little short for a stormtrooper.
Hey-o! Ba-dum-bum.
And whenever you move it from one room to another, it bangs its head on the door.
Oh!
But it's not articulated, and you can't remove the armor to play dress-up.
That's the thing. For $8,000, can you get, like, a full-on stormtrooper kit for $8,000?
I think $8,000 you can get the whatever battalion show up at your house.
Yeah, you can get the 501st to show up.
I would probably wait on this. I need to spend my money. I need to save money for a new trash compactor on the detention level first, then we'll get around to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, and you need your BB-8 soccer ball robot to kick around.
Jay might get a real trooper, though. We'll see.
I'm saving up for Fett's vet.
Oh, so the first comment to tie in with what was said while I was reading the story, because I found this on Gizmodo, said, so it would be cheaper to buy a sex doll with full articulation and realistic appearance and then put on Halloween costume armor than to buy this.
That's actually Jay and I just posted that. That's totally, yeah.
Sounds more fun than this product with less explanation required for any house guests. Oh. Ouch. But, did anybody catch, you know, I read the reviews, you know, last week I read out the, like, headlines where the reviewers, like, savaged Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, but it did well in the box office.
Been,
so a lot of people
been
went
like
and
some
saw it.
Backlash. I started seeing backlash in the media against the bad reviews, saying that it's because people expected a superhero story where a superhero comes in and saves the day, and it's really more about what you should expect from somebody who has powers above you and, you know, what their limit should be and that sort of thing. It's like it's a much darker story than a normal superhero saves the day story.
Does anyone know who won?
Spoilers.
Batman versus Superman, I assume. Is there even a winner?
Yes.
Okay.
Superman.
Yes, there's a...
Superman. Wonder Woman.
I would think it would be... I mean,
Wonder Woman's in it.
Without getting into a whole lot of comic book lore, I would think hands down Superman, unless, you know, like, Batman has a whole lot of kryptonite on the utility belt.
I figure the Batman versus Superman fight is probably like a fight between me and my little brother. The only way, you know, you could win is you really have to hurt the guy.
To not play. Oh.
Right.
Ender's Game kind of thing. Just wish it quick.
No, it's just that, you know, I think there can't be a winner because Superman would have to kill Batman to be the winner, and Superman's not going to kill Batman. So it's like
Batman's just going to keep being the annoying little brother.
Right, he's just going to be I could beat you up. so that's going to be the
I have a feeling that probably, you know, they have plenty of good, you know, blow up real good stuff. I have not seen it, so if I'm spoiling it, it is totally inadvertently. But my guess would be that it may have a little bit of, you know, it's got a lot more violence than the old 70s, you know, Justice League cartoon, which, just for reference, they weren't allowed to use violence or physical force to win. So that the bad guys basically set up puzzles for the Justice League to solve and defeat them by solving the puzzles, because violence was going to wreck our young little minds.
The answer to that puzzle is bam.
So instead we watched, you know, we watched the Warner Brothers cartoons where, yeah, you know, Wile E. Coyote fell off a cliff. Anyways, no, my bet is that they fight and there's some blew up real good stuff, and that then of course at some point they realize that they're both good guys, and boy, we should team up, and it's all buddy-buddy.
And they both learn
buddy.
A valuable lesson.
Because there's not going to be, you know, it's not like they're going to have two or three movies of this. It's not like Batman is stewing in the Batcave. It's like, geez, he kicked my ass this time, but what have I got to buy?
It's Roadrunner versus Coyote.
So Aquaman's the real enemy here.
Or Spy versus Spy, I think, would be better.
Yeah, Spy versus, you know, Spy. There's
Batman short sheets, Clark Kent, and...
I think Spy versus Spy is too polarizing right now, and
puts kryptonite in his lunchbox.
Yeah. So Katie Five, who's got some IRC and / geek cred, he said he actually enjoyed the movie, and he's called out some bad movies for being bad movies. So, movie could have some merit.
You know, or Clark Kent planning stories in the Daily Globe about investments in Wayne Industries, caused the stock to crash, and. Just that kind of I see. That's what I think.
Shenanigans.
It's a taut psychological thriller.
When does Suicide Squad come out? That's someone that doesn't really have a hero in it, does it?
I don't know when that's supposed to come out.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, because as they were filming it, there was like they were releasing pictures of the Jared Leto's the Joker and the girl.
It was a year ago.
And all that stuff. So it was all that huge hype, and then crickets. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess that would be something to Google and see when Suicide Squad. I wonder, is it a summer movie?
I would assume so. Hopefully it'll come out. Hopefully it's not like a, you know, November Harry Potter release, because they've been hyping that way too long to make me wait till Christmas.
That seems like even longer. Oh, it's due on my birthday, August 5th, 2016.
Ooh, if you're going to get a theat. This is why I can't talk tonight. If you're going to get a seat in the theater based on your social security number, where would you sit, Pete?
I would sit in a row where people whose social security number comes from Missouri, even though I didn't live in Missouri when I got my social security number. You know that the numbers actually are like the first three digits have something to do with where you got.
Oh yeah, you can actually. So if you know the year that someone's born and you know where they were born, you have a very, very solid guess at the first five, just because the first three are geolocation, and then past that, it's usually given out in a series to different chunks of different hospitals, because it was before they had, you know, computer systems where they could get in real time the very next, you know, social security number. So yeah, you can, if you know a lot of that, you can, you know, limit it to like, you know, about under 1,000 guesses as to someone's actual social.
Oh, well, people above a certain age, you didn't get a social security number when you were born. You had to like apply for one at some point in your life. I got mine when I was in high school.
You're 80?
Reason my social security number is from high school is because my uncle works at the Social Security Administration, and so it was a whole lot quicker and easier to just get him to get me a card and send it to me than it was to fill out the stuff and send it in. And
now, if you didn't get a card, you still had to pay Social Security, right?
Oh yeah, well, you had to have it to get a job. Yeah, oh, wow. Which is why in high school.
But yes,
that's why you had to get it in high school. That's why I had to get it in high school. But before that, they didn't require it. You didn't have to have a social security number. Nowadays, yeah, every kid that's, you know, when they're born, they fill out the social security stuff right at the hospital and start it up. But that's something that changed. I don't know when.
1936 is when they first started doling out social security numbers.
Yeah, but when they started doing it when they were born, because now they require it to like start school and stuff for kids.
I can't remember whether my parents got me mine or whether.
I remember when I got one, but I don't remember if I. That's a. I don't remember if I got it. I remember when I got one. I remember getting the card. I remember signing the card. But
you still have the original?
Yes, I do.
Me too.
But I don't remember if I got it then, like I got a Social Security number then, or if I already had it. I just never had the card or something.
I think sometime in the 80s or 90s, they changed it where to have a kid on your a dependent on your taxes. That you had to have the kid's Social Security number, and that's when they started giving them out every time. When you know, that's when the hospital started handling them right away.
So since 2007, the Social Security Administration has started randomizing the Social Security numbers that they hand out. So you can no longer tell for the youngins, but if you're, you know, you're old enough to have a credit history, you're out there. So careful with that kind of intel.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it's just kind of all over the place. And how many different things have they required you to give your Social Security number to over the years where it can be? Plus, I guess if they know a little bit about you, like you said, they can get the first five so they can call you up, social engineer you and go, yeah, so let's see. We want to confirm your social. It's, you know, 37762. And then what was that last four?
Yeah. So when those first come out, the first part, the 3-digit part was actually called the area number. And then the next part was the group number. And the group number was actually doled out in chunks of, I think, 10,000 to post offices. And then the post offices, I guess that's maybe, Pete, is that where you went to go get your Social Security card back in the day? Was it a post office?
Well, no. Like I said, my uncle worked for the Social Security Administration. So we just like called him on the phone and he sent one. So I don't know where mine came out of this some office in the Midwest.
So yeah, so if you can figure out like where someone was born, what hospital, you look at the nearest post office, you can go see what was doled out to those post offices over that time period, and you can get super close.
And then you can also just tell them, yeah, we only need the last four of your social. How many times have you heard that? You know, you've gotten that one where that's what they asked to identify you on.
I've seen, not naming any names, but I've seen a lot of companies use the last four and even the last six of people's social as a door code, which they should probably change that.
My original computer ID in college was my three initials and the last four of my social. And actually, I think my freshman year in college, my student ID was my Social Security number.
Oh. See, now I think they need to get away from that. There are still a lot of companies, and we're seeing a lot of issues with this in our segment. A lot of companies use Social Security number as like the main primary
like
key, the
identifier.
Main identifier for, yeah. You know, for a person. And the issue that we're seeing a lot of is you get more and more, you know, HB1 visas, and as you get more and more immigrants coming over, they'll get naturalized and they'll go from these, you know, like I think most of the temporary socials are like 00 or something like that. They're kind of stateless. And their socials change. So it's like, you know, we've got a lot of people that are in our system twice because at some point they're in there is their initial, you know, here's your temporary social to get a job here. And then here's your naturalized Social Security number. So, and these companies, they never figured it out. It's like, hey, this is the same person. Yeah. But, you know, for 20 years, a lot of those older systems weren't designed, you know, a Social Security number was immutable. It was assigned to a person for life and that's all there was. So yeah, systems are having to start to catch up with the new thinking.
Nice. Well, at least now, finally, belatedly, they're randomizing them. But geez, I guess part of it was the idea used to be that, you know, that you just keep going up in the numbers and you don't have to worry as long as you go higher than, you know, wherever you were, whatever the numbers were before, that you could, you know, keep doling them out and not collide. You know, and have two people with the same Social Security number. But
yeah, that was exactly it. They need to get to where you can, you know, maybe get like vanity Social Security numbers if it's completely random now. I think that would be kind of cool. It feels kind of like rolling a character now. It's
like you
get some
extra.
Really lame numbers. You know, I want all 18s on mine, please. 20s.
All right. What's your favorite three? What is it? How many? Three,
I will say, you know, my Social Security number.
9-digit number.
I could play Social Security poker against most people and win.
So what is that?
Social Security poker. It's like driver's license poker or dollar bill poker.
Is this a social engineering thing? Do you want to play online now or on?
No, you just take.
I bet you I could beat you in Social Security poker.
You think so?
Yes.
Do you have
poker face?
Do you have a straight or a flush, or do you have of a kind? And how many of a kind?
I have of a kind, and I have many of a kind.
I have many of a kind.
I have many of a kind. I will.
So yeah, tune in next week for guest of Social
Security. I also have I have a flush, not a flush, but a
straight. A full house.
Full house. No, not a full house. What's the when you have three of one and two of the other?
Full house.
Full house.
That is a full house, right? Yeah. Full house. Yeah, I have full house.
Stick with slot machines, Jay.
I don't have a. I don't
know,
have
I'm
a,
just
I don't,
trying to have this conversation without saying my social security number on the air.
I don't have a full house, but I do have several of a kind, of one of a kind.
I'm willing to compare.
I have a royal flush.
I think I could beat you.
All right, get them out. Read them out.
We got to put.
Just
gotta put
how many of a kind do you have? Here, I'll show.
Somebody's buying drinks at the.
I'll show Groovehouse. How many of a kind?
Do you have the pen that Groovehouse gave?
Dang.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom. You have a piece of paper that Groovehouse didn't give you? Give me the napkin. There we go.
This is the number,
it's
though.
It's like Microsoft Surface, only completely analog.
Awesome.
Good luck, Jay.
Are you putting them in order?
Hence. Yeah. Who's going to win?
Let's see. Hold on. I got to.
What's the bet? The drinks at the Geek Gathering?
Shh, I'm trying to memorize Jay Lee's Social Security number.
Actually, I have. Actually. Three other people's social security numbers memorized, and whenever I was doing mail scanning for like outbound
mails.
Data leakage protection, mm-hmm. I would use those people's social security numbers as a test because they're real social security numbers.
Wow,
they're just of other people.
That's hopefully people you don't like. I would think with that.
One of them. The other two, I'm okay with.
Well, they might not be okay with you after this admission.
I don't remember any of those numbers.
But right. The reason I remember him is because from college.
Jay's getting his poker face on and his social security number randomized.
Woo! Well, that's probably a better
this
way.
This is taking a long time. What are you doing?
Hey, man.
I was waiting for the dogs to bark.
No dog contest.
Pizza's here.
Hey, playing poker. You know, dogs playing poker is a big tradition. So,
are you like drawing little?
Wow, this is
are you drawing
some...
little cards or something?
No, I'm sorry. I just
he's probably randomizing the numbers as far as their order, so
yeah.
There's no
just
issue.
Put them
with,
in order.
Like,
No, not the order of your social security number, but in like ascending order.
Yeah, that would have been smart.
Because that way, it's not like you randomizing. We don't see into your psyche.
Hold on, let me go. Over
so, am I writing mine down? Code.
That or just add. Just change them by a certain amount and row 13 them.
Are you gonna do
say, that? I got a royal flush.
Don't.
Oh.
Here.
11, 12, 13.
How do we play the game?
I guess Groovehouse will be the judge.
Okay, so we are tabulating Social Security hands here.
We're playing Social Security poker on the radio. This is good right radio here, buddy.
Next week, we're going to play cribbage. It's going to be fascinating.
Tic-tac-toe would be fun.
And knobs is six.
Dogs playing poker.
There you go.
There's mine.
I think Flicted wins.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
More of a kind.
More of a kind?
More of a kind. Is that a hand?
Yeah, more of a kind beats a full house.
His was all aces. How did he get that on his social security?
Mine was all my.
He has
my,
two Bob Sagets. Yeah, what?
I have four aces.
Yeah, but
how do you
has
win?
Hold
six
on, what's
of
an
them.
Ace?
Really?
Yeah, Flicted has six aces.
Six aces. Yeah.
No, hold on now. Okay, I think we just
a second. I'm not doing aces. I'm just doing numbers.
Well, he's got more numbers in a row than the other guy. Hmm.
I wasn't doing like
everyone
ones
doing
or aces.
Logic puzzles at home. We just got a factor of 10 closer.
Okay. Good God. Yeah, no kidding.
See, that's no good.
Your social security number could be guessed from this.
I'm intentionally not looking, but knowing where you might have been born and knowing that many repeating numbers, it's got to be one of those repeating. So I would assume.
Wow.
What?
Well, on the kind of ascending number thing, I don't know if you've ever met somebody who's fairly old and you see their driver's license number and it's, you know, zeros.
I was upset because
up in the front.
I don't remember if it was my brother or somebody got a driver's license years after I got mine, and mine starts with a one. It's 8 digits, and theirs started with a zero. I was upset because I thought
I wonder if at some point
they're reusing them.
So when you tell someone your social security number, do they think you're making it up?
That's a movie.
They go, wow, that's a lot of that particular number. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
I got four of a kind. I thought that was a lot. But also, one of the four of the kind pairs with one of the two of the kind, and that number repeats.
Still not enough to beat.
I don't say it beats it, but so
but it's
I say
a full house.
I say is that a
you've
yeah,
got?
I do have a full house.
Two, but, four, full house.
Right, but my social security number goes the last two digits of the first three are the same two digits of the second batch of numbers. So
logic puzzle.
So 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2 is something, but 1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
1, 2.
Does that too.
So yeah. A pair of 12s.
So a pair of 12s.
I don't care. I'll show you what my social security number is.
Don't show Barrett, though.
I don't want to see. But I was right
Barrett's
about
like
the repeating
stuff already.
Because he's going to log into your college computer account.
That's already there.
I'm going to read your email from the 90s.
Impersonate him on DARPA.
God,
gotta go. Almost out of AOL hours.
All right, this is weird. Let me tell you the numbers. Man, yours looks so made up.
I kind of want to know now.
But yours,
wow.
I'm going to type it in. I'm going to take a guess. I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to see how close I get.
If you want to call Flicted and ask him his social security number, it's 713-555-1212.
So Flicted is ever so slightly older than me, which is weird because I always think he's younger. But you've got a year or two on me, right? 2 years?
Yep.
Okay.
You're all children.
Kids. You're all kids.
Get off my lawn.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
What are you doing here?
He's trying to guess it.
That's my guess at the social. How close? I'd change the very end. Is that not even close?
No.
Oh.
That's his.
Whoa. Okay. I got the repeating number right, though. The my mode, the number I had the most, was also the number he had the most. Right? All those, that numbers?
They're not in a row because they're in a row, but not in that position.
Not in that position, but I mean that it was easy to guess which was the mode of that social.
Kinda,
I thought.
I'll just leave this here for the next show.
No, we'll put a name on it. We're not going to know whose that is.
I'm going to put my name on Flicted's and Flicted's name on mine. That'll keep it safe.
Hey, let's guess birthdays next.
Yeah, unfortunately, my driver's license isn't any good for playing. Playing any poker with.
Do you have your driver's license number memorized?
Yes.
As do I. Passport number?
No.
I have no idea what
you write yours down a lot, though.
Liked was my first two passports. My wife and my first passport.
You guys travel as one.
We're sequential.
When we
first got them, we applied at the same time, and they were sequential. But when we renewed, they were no longer sequential.
So they give you different passport numbers for every passport?
Yes.
Yes. Every 10 years you have to renew.
Yeah. So I knew that, but I didn't know you got a new passport number.
You got a new number.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at the thing on passports, and it has the whole, can you renew or do you have to apply again? And I got most of the way down the list, and then it was like, no. Hit one of the questions where it's like, no, it's been more than 15 years since you applied for your first passport.
Now, speaking of memorizing and numbers and stuff, this is an interesting thing to think about in today's society. Many young people, of which we're not anymore, many young people don't even know
what a phone is.
They don't even know what their phone number is.
Yeah, I've gotten really bad about that. Like people that I've met since, you know, somewhere since the early 90s, I don't know what their phone numbers are. Like, I don't know almost anybody's phone numbers off the top of my head anymore.
You don't know.
No, but people don't even know their own phone numbers.
I had that problem with my cell phone. I always had it. I actually, you know, often had to go through the thing to, you know, find where it tells you what your own number is.
For a day, though, usually.
But like I can tell you, you know,
I had my phone number. I had a problem memorizing it, but I was committed to memorizing it. So I had it written down and taped on the back of my first phone so I could know what, my phone number is this. But.
Oh. My current cell, the nice part is the last four digits. I got my phone in 2014. That's the digits. That's the last four on the. Mm-hmm. So just start randomly dialing with whatever 2014. Eventually you'll get to me. Just try the different area codes and, you know, anyways. But yeah, so it was like real easy to remember. And they were. Ooh, that, and then my kids were sequential after that.
It's
so
that,
there's
new,
the
that new San Antonio cell area code.
666, the devil's area code.
It's not 210, because that's the old one.
It's like the Da Vinci code.
Or no, 210 is not the really old one. What was the one before 210?
Well, yeah. San Antonio used to be 512, yep. And then Austin got that, I think. And remember when 409 was like half of Texas?
915.
Yeah, 409 was just about everything. 409 was the majority of Texas.
915 was everything from the center all the way to El Paso was 915.
But like 409 was all the was all the eastern part of Texas. So it was like Galveston, I think, was 409, mm-hmm. And so was College Station.
College Station was 409. I remember that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 915 was like where I'm from in Central Texas, all the way out to El Paso, all the way up the Panhandle, all the way down to
the valley.
To the valley, it was all 915, except San Antonio had its own, but everything else was 915. And then they split. In maybe the late 90s or late 80s, early 90s, maybe early 90s, they split 915 and 325, and they moved 915. It was all kind of out towards. But and at this point, 915 is now pretty much just El Paso, I think.
What?
Like it's shrunken down so much that now there's like six or seven area codes in across the west half of Texas.
Well, remember all the bitching when Houston went to, you know, full dial area code, the full 10-digit dialing, all the just wailing and moaning.
Yeah,
everybody does it all the time.
Yeah, I was really annoyed when my hometown went from 5-digit dialing to 7-digit dialing. Because we used to just have to dial 5 digits.
It's too many numbers. I'm not using the phone anymore.
Because the prefix was 597, and all you had to dial was 7, whatever, that was it.
Now that's manageable as long as you weren't on a rotary dial and you were calling someone that had a lot of zeros in their phone number. At which point, you're just like, I'm not going to call them.
Well, especially when there's that stutter, so then you dial the number that you have no idea what it was, you know, when you're doing the rotary and you like kind of halfway.
And it slips, and then you don't know.
Yeah.
Start
and
over.
Then you're... Yeah, then it started over time.
Well, I remember, you know, dialing the phone and spinning, you know, I just put my finger in zero and this, you know, rotated up to the right number.
Oh, you could just by deduction. That's the new math dialing, huh?
Yeah. So,
wow. I never did that.
I think they use that in the Common Core now.
Yeah, I think they actually do, except maybe without phones.
First,
yeah,
get a rotary phone.
All right, so we do have a Geek Gathering coming up this Friday.
Yes,
are we
going to
bring pranks, sweet pranks?
You should bring a.
You
should bring
gotta bring prank.
I would say you should bring a pineapple prank.
Oh, we could bring, yeah, we might bring some.
How about some prank loco?
We'll bring some. No prank loco,
yeah, I'll big. Bring the prank loco.
We're setting
watermelon.
Up our website. We're setting up our website where you can play Social Security poker on it. And you just put your number. And
we have another website for birthday poker and another site for mother's maiden name poker.
TDL and much.
Come to our Facebook page, post it also, there. We'll tell you who wins.
Also, the name of your childhood best friend and your first pet.
I think there are some Raspberry Pis. The third version has hit the street. There might be some of those coming this Friday. No joke. We shall see.
Any software-defined radio?
Yeah, we've got some of that stuff. And that's the other thing, too. There are some bills out there that are trying to make software-defined radios illegal, which isn't very good. I think we mentioned it with the firmware.
But terrorists haven't used them yet, have they?
No. No, no, no. It's no good. It's everything that's fun, they're making illegal, you know?
Well, yeah, I heard there was a news story recently with the police band is open in public and you can hear it. And there was somebody talking about, there was a police officer talking about, you know, in San Bernardino, if they had Confederates that were listening, they knew everything we were doing because they could follow the, you know.
And, but don't most police have like encrypted bands also?
A lot of them have, a lot of the cars now are going to digital, and even it's kind of funky, even though there's still chatter, unencrypted chatter that scanners can listen to, the majority of communications, the dispatch is done over digital lines and it goes to the computer, so it's much more like a teletype, you know, kind of service, and you can't just listen to what's going on, and even then they've got encryption between the car and the dispatch, so it's really hard to get in there. So they can complain, but if they're really secure stuff, they don't use the radio, it comes straight to the car's computers. And, you know, I think I know most large cities, if you look in the car cruisers, you'll see big screen, and they've even got, like, the keyboards that fold around so they can type. That's what's going on.
You
so
know, in very season, little goes over the in season two of Daredevil, Punisher had to buy one of those so he could listen to the encrypted police bands.
One to actually listen to the typing going back and forth, decrypt that real time and show
to
what was being
see
typed.
Everything, yeah.
Wow.
Of course, they're, you know, they're highly illegal, so he had to get it on the black market.
Yeah, I would assume that those things aren't super illegal.
But when you're when your superhero name is the Punisher, you're probably not too concerned about being legal. You're not the squeaky clean kind of hero like Daredevil is.
You know, the funny thing is, sorry, when Punisher started out, he was actually like a cartoony, goofy character who was the idea was that he punished people for crimes, but it didn't matter what the crime was, like he would kill them. So like an old grandma jaywalking, he was going to shoot her and kill her. And I think he showed up for his first appearance was in Spider-Man, and he was like this insane person who was going to kill everybody for breaking any law at all. And then he wasn't, and then he popped up a few times, I think, and then they brought him back later with his series, and they kind of was like, oh, when that all that stuff happened, he was like on, he had been drugged, and so he didn't know what he was doing. He was out of his mind, and that's how they explain all of his origin, original origin.
Nice. And then the gritty reboot. It's like, how do you make that grittier?
I hear that season two of Daredevil is pretty good.
I've only watched the first two episodes, so I can't say too much yet. I'm not sure.
So season one is good. I'm just trying to find something.
Season
to watch
one
until
is good.
Season three of Mr. Robot comes out.
Actually, somebody recommended. I don't remember who. Maybe in Pete. I don't remember. Somebody recommended to me a Netflix series called River.
Yes.
I've watched the first three episodes, and yeah, it's really good. Like, visually, it's almost got the same kind of style as like Girl with a Dragon Tattoo or Mr. Robot. Like visually, but the story's also it's really good. It's interesting.
Cool. Yeah, and you got stuff to look forward to on that one. And you out there have stuff to look forward to with the Geek Gathering this Friday.
2808 Milam at Drew, 730 Cones.
We may or may not be there.
We'll be there.
I'll be there.
Somebody will be there.
I'll be there.
I'll be there. Al will be there.
Al will be there.
I'll be sure.
Al.
It is I'll be sure.
Or I'll be back.
All right, well, we'll be back. Next we'll
week.
Be there. You've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
And he's
Sarah Connor.
Have you heard KPFT's afternoon schedule recently? After KPFT News at 4, tune in at 4:30 for new offerings and greater context to the stories you're interested in. On Mondays, tune in for coverage of the presidential race on Undecided. Tuesdays, Legacy, Community Health, and KPFT partner to bring you The Pulse, a look at healthcare in the city, state, and nation. Wednesday, join KPFA's Mitch Jeserich for a look at more of the issues you care about on Letters and Politics. And Fridays, Dean Becker delivers dispatches from the drug war on cultural baggage. These programs are made possible through the support of listeners like you. To see our program schedule or make a donation for programming you enjoy, please visit kpft.org. This is KPFT Houston.
There has never been a better time to donate your car to KPFT. When you contact the KPFT car donation hotline, you will do something great for this community. Call 1-855-573-8227 to donate or find out more information. KPFT is the only radio station of its kind located in Texas. It broadcasts music, news, information, and cultural programming from national distributors as well as locally produced offerings and more. Your donated vehicle goes to support this unique voice for yourself and others. Have an old car taking up space in your driveway? Donate it to KPFT now. Just call 1-855-KPFT-CAR or visit kpft.org to donate your old vehicle to support KPFT. Your contribution is appreciated.